you'd help us to understand this. I pray that you'd help us to be willing to pray like this. And I just pray that you'd help us to see what is being said here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Esther 4. So far down through here, we have a Gentile queen removed because of a drunken party. And then a Jewish maiden replaced her, but yet Mordecai has told her to keep her race secret. That way Whoopi Goldberg can say it wasn't about race. Goldberg. Sounds a little Jewish. She don't look Jewish to me. She looks like a Whoopi, but... Who nicknamed yourself after a bathroom room noise? A whoopee cushion. That's what her last name should be. So in chapter 4, Mordecai has gone out in public. He's like in a public official, and he's making a protest, a real scene. And he's trying to get Esther's attention. So in chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Okay, yelled publicly. So it would be like here in our culture, it would be like going to the Rensselaer Courthouse or Lake County up here, stand in the front door and yell and scream to God, and everybody watches you do that when you walk in. So it's like a protest. And you can see that he's very demonstrative about it. You know, clothes, burlap sack, ashes on them and everything. Orientals, they don't protest like... Black Lives Matters. In Vietnam, President Diem was the president of South Vietnam, and the Catholic priest had told the Catholic people that Mary left North Vietnam and went to South. And so then he was a Catholic, and he tried to force Catholicism on those Buddhists. And do you remember reading in the news, us older ones, what the Buddhists did? They went down to the public square, took gasoline on themselves, and torched themselves. That's a one-time act. Too bad Black Lives Matter didn't do that. But not just one did that, several do it. Can you imagine dying that way? That's something. And then Diem was assassinated 2-3 weeks before Kennedy was. So Mordecai is not going that far, but he is—he's crying out to God, and it's a bitter, loud cry, verbal cry. Okay, there are, and of course you look at this Haman, and you say, what kind of a guy, what kind of a individual would pass a law, put it in print, that he wants to kill all Jewish people and then confiscate their wealth. And Haman, he's type of the Antichrist, you know, like Trudeau. He hasn't gone that far, but these people are just nuts, if they are people. But it's just amazing what tyrants do. In Australia, the last protest, about 1 million people, the police whipped out their pickup and microwaved some of the protesters. Sent out this microwave, and boy, did they hit some people. And that microwave is something. Now, that, fortunately, I think there's going to be a class action lawsuit, but who would think of something like that? Let's think of ways, you know, microwaving these people, and men, women, and children, and infants. It was like a family outing, and they got this going on. Haman is that kind of a character. He's type of the Antichrist. Okay, but I want to look at that loud and bitter cry, and I think one of the songs, it's Psalm 19, it talks about, no, there was Psalm 61, one talked about crying. Okay, there are Obviously, being Bible believers, we know that God knows our thoughts, and He can hear our silent prayers. Okay, the example is that in 1 Samuel 1, remember that Hannah was praying for a child, and it says that her lips were moving, but she spoke in her heart, and God heard that prayer. And then, of course, Eli judged her. He thought she'd been drinking. And then she told him the truth, and he said, oh, then the Lord's going to answer your prayer. So she did get a son, and she did keep her vow. That shows that God does hear our secret prayers, our quiet prayers, our prayers within our hearts. And I'm sure that's probably how most of us do the praying. But remember that in Hebrews 4, that the Bible mentions that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword. And then the next verse says, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this, when people get an inkling to read the Bible, one of the things that deters them is as they're reading the Bible, they just feel like the Bible is reading them, which it is. And that makes them feel funny. That conviction they don't recognize is good for them. And the corrections of the Lord are good for them, but often people will put the Bible down because they just, oh man, I just can't like that feeling. And if you've ever heard the testimony of Ruckman, it's kind of a funny testimony. At 27, he was an army brat, and he broke into a house to try to find a gun so he could kill himself. And he found a Bible and stole the Bible instead. Have you heard of a thief break into someone's house to steal a Bible? Well, he did, and he brought it home, and the first thing he opened up, I think, was a passage in Ezekiel where it says, I'm going to smite thee from the top of thy head to the sole of thy feet. That's the first passage he read, and it scared him so bad he threw it across the room. And then he started talking to him and said, come on, it's just a book. It's just a book. So he went back over and picked it up, and he opened it up again, and he found a very similar verse, hit him again, and he threw it over there. And then eventually, a few months later, he did get saved. Okay, but he discovered that that book reads him. And so the Lord knows the Lord knows our hearts, and he hears our silent prayers. But there are times where the spoken, audible words are necessary. Okay, let's try John chapter 11. This is the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. And Jewish culture teaches that when a person dies, their spirit kind of hangs around for 3 days. Kind of hovers around, I guess. And this is why if they build a sepulcher, they'll have a little vent at the top. I guess the spirit can't go through the rocks, and so it's got to come out the vent. And so the Lord made sure Lazarus is dead, even according to the Jewish cultures. And on the fourth day. Now, on the fourth day in John 11, verse 41, he told them, take away the stone and all that stuff. And that's when his sister said, man, he stinks by now. And so in verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, God's not deaf, but that was because people, we need at times to hear the spoken word. In 1 Peter chapter 3, this is something that especially we as parents need to recognize, that our spoken word, it says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so our spoken word can be a blessing or a curse. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Then he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing, and then he that will love life and see good days and so forth. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, so forth. But the idea is that our spoken word can encourage, breathe life into people. And our spoken word can also do the opposite. Now, I'm not a charismatic where you got name it and claim it stuff, but there is something to it where our words are vibrations. Okay, and Emoto Masudo, some guy on YouTube, did a study on water, and I've mentioned this before, that he would speak words to water, and then he could freeze dry it instantly, and then examine the crystals, the shape of the water. It's a phenomenal study. Okay, and when he'd say love or joy or peace, the water crystals were amazing. And then if he would say hate, war, and all that stuff, that the waters would be distorted. And then he tried, that was spoken, then he tried music. And of course the same thing happened, classical music versus other music. And then he tried writing. He just wrote the words and placed the words by the water, and it did the same thing. So in our house, we got the two water jugs. One is the well water, one is the distilled. And I put on a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, I put the fruit of the Spirit, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I just paste it right beside the water. Because that our body is made of water, 80% water. So can you imagine that? Okay, so it's the spoken word, it produces vibrations is what it does. There's a guy online, it's online, you could look at it, where he puts sand on this square thing and he plays music, and then the sand will vibrate and form a crystal or a star. It depends on the music that he plays. So the spoken word can bless or curse. Now, in the scripture, you have times where God and the devil both, and this is how God and the devil both get their prophecies fulfilled, is that they have the capability of putting thoughts in our minds or in people's minds. And it can be hundreds of people at the same time. Remember the lepers that went out and God put thoughts in the entire, I think it's Assyrian army's mind, that they thought they heard chariots and they took off. So in John 13:2, it says the devil placed in the heart of Judas the idea of betraying Christ. Okay, so Judas got down that path, but the devil, he can't read our minds. God can read our minds. God can see what we do with these thoughts. The devil cannot. And so he wanted to make sure this got accomplished. And since Judas Iscariot opened the doors enough for Satan, he just said, man, I just can't send a boy to do a man's job. And so he came into Judas on verse 27 and then got the betrayal done, accomplished. And then Judas, and I think he committed suicide because Satan had to get rid of this carcass, had to somehow take his hooks out of this carcass on death, and so that way he can go elsewhere after that. Now, in Revelation 17:17, the 10 demoniac kings will agree to pull their kingdoms under Satan, and it says that they fulfilled the will of God. So God places the thought in their mind. They think it's an original thought. They conclude it's a good idea, and therefore they will comply with the ways of the Lord. And this is how the Lord does it. He doesn't force it on us. God is not a Calvinist, a hyper-Calvinist. And this is going to be mentioned a little bit later in Esther, how God does this. So God is placing these thoughts in different various people, what he needs to get accomplished, and then people will act upon it. God sees how we use the thought. He can read the mind. The devil is limited where he cannot read the mind. But he can give us thoughts. This is why 2 Corinthians says that we need to cast down imaginations. And so the spoken word in Matthew chapter 12, where the people, the Pharisees said Jesus is Beelzebub. And in that section there, he mentions that if you and I are going to say witness to somebody who's demonized, then we need to bind the unclean spirits to give an opportunity for those people to hear. Okay, yesterday at the funeral, you know, before the service itself, you know, I walked down the hall and quietly but verbally bound the spirits of Catholicism and the unclean spirits in that building and asked the Spirit of God to enter in that building so that you can give people the liberty to hear the gospel, to see it. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to accept it, but at least takes away the blinders and the deafness in their ears so they at least hear it. Now it's up to them. And so this is done audibly. Okay, you don't have to yell and scream. So if you have, on this issue, you have, say, someone that you're in the same house with them, you can go into the next room and whisper because, you know, they're also portrayed as dogs, and dogs can hear pretty good. So, but this is when it does need to be audible because the spirits can't read our mind. So this brings us back to this cry. Okay, if you would try 2 Samuel 22:7. So Mordecai was crying a loud and bitter cry, verbalizing his prayer protest. 2 Samuel 22:7. And you'll read through the Psalms on many occasions about my prayer, my cry. So, 2 Samuel 22:7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. From the Lord's perspective, this is a cry of a child in distress crying for help. So when Peter and the disciples saw Jesus walking on the waters, they cried because they thought there was a ghost. But then when Jesus told them who it was, then Pete says, oh, call me, bid me to come on you. So he goes out there and then he notices the water and then he's sinking. And it says he cried, Lord, help me. You know, that was a good prayer. That's all that it was. And the Lord helped him. He didn't have to have some Catholic prayer book, you know, who do I pray to when I'm drowning in water? And so that was the prayer. In Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, be followers of God as dear children. So it's like a little kid who, you know, falls on his bicycle, scrapes his knee, and yelling. He's in distress. He's crying for help. And, of course, that gets our parents' attention, right? And so in the footnote of that chapter, I've got several examples of it. And you can look at those. A cry in battle. A cry in sickness. One in difficulty, and one in a rescue from danger. And I dare say, a few months back, down in Costa Rica, the Lord heard somebody's cry and intervened and saved some of our family down there. I dare say that happened, and the Lord intervened for that. And so this is a part of it. Now, some will say that the Lord does not hear the prayer of the lost or unrighteous. But the men who was on the boat with Jonah didn't know that doctrine. And so they cried out to God or any God, and God saved them. save the boat. Jonah 1:14. So the Lord does hear that. And this is an idea. And I'm not saying that this is a guaranteed answer, but it does raise up the chances of it. And it also, it's not limited to dispensations, because in Matthew 15, remember the woman of Canaan that came to Jesus and begged that he would heal her daughter. And he ignored her the first time. Then the disciples said, get rid of that woman. And then the Lord said to her, I'm going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you don't look like one. And so then she did not back off. She cried more to him. And then he insulted her, okay, and she got her prayer answered. Even though he was going to Israel, he crossed that dispensation to answer the prayer of that Canaanite woman. Okay, so back in Esther, that cry is also closes out the great psalm of protection, Psalm 91. So there are times we need to verbally pray. Okay, when you're dealing with spirits, and our prayer and our verbal words can be a blessing or a curse. Okay, verse 2, and it says, and it came even before the king's gate, so it's right in front, out there in public, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Okay, so this wasn't a slow losing the narrative type thing, is the COVID thing is. These people are losing the narrative because they've had to change so many things, and it's being so obvious. This guy actually wrote the law, put it in print, sent it throughout the whole country. If you're a Jew, you're dead, and I'm taking everything you got. So it wasn't clouded over. It wasn't one of these Nancy Pelosi things. Well, we need to pass the law so we can read it to see what's in it. Okay, this was in print that if you're a Jew, you're a goner, and we're taking everything you got. So there it is, verse 13. People are crying out. And so verse 4, Esther, and there's a protocol that the public officials have to comply with, and she's also stuck in that protocol. And so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceeding grieved, because she knew this isn't normal behavior for Mordecai. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away a sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, and that's the guy in chapter 2 who is a keeper of the women, one of the king's chamberlain, whom he had appointed to attend on her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which is before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him. Okay, so that's the thing about not standing, not paying homage to Haman. I mean, what kind of clown gets upset because one person doesn't stand for him? Well, just about any judge in any courtroom in America, if you want to test the experiment. I mean, who acts like that? Ego problems, right? So he told him all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. Okay, now these kings, the guy is a multi-billionaire, you could say that, in that culture. Why do you need so much more money? And the human aspect of that is money. Is the love of money is the root of all evil. But from the satanic aspect, the more money they take from the common people, the more enslaved the common people remain. So it's not the monetary value they care for, it's the control that they are caring for. To keep people enslaved to a system where they cannot spend time studying to research the fraud that's perpetrated against them. That's the intent. And 1 Timothy 6:10 is the King James Bible is the only one that writes it that way. The love of money is the root of all evil. And then verse 8, so he's going to verify this. And also he gave the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go in unto the king. And that going in unto the king is against protocol, to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for the people. So typology, doctrinal typology, Esther is portraying Israel. Mordecai is portraying a righteous Jew being persecuted by Satan directly. Haman is portraying the Antichrist. So that's the doctrinal picture. So at the in verse 9, and Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Haman and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Okay, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden sepulcher. It's probably, I would say the root of that law is probably a fear of assassination. If somebody just comes in, they're afraid he's going to be assassinated. So when he looks out, then he holds this golden sepulcher, okay, that he may live, but I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So he of course knows this protocol, and she is afraid. She's afraid to go unto the king. Understandably so. You know, and, you know, it's like if some dad says, I'm going to go see the king, and the wife will say, is your life insurance paid up? Make sure you pay that up. And so it says, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. And so then he came back. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Esther, they're going to find out you're a Jew. And when they find that out, you're not going to be delivered. And then he says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Okay, there's an anti-Calvinist viewpoint, isn't it? And this is a pattern. If the Lord, you know, is, you know, wondering who's going to fulfill this bidding, he'll give these same thoughts to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And one of them is going to fulfill this. So God does not program into us to be robots. Now, the devil, it says that when we kick open the door to the devil or spirits, when we just even just nudge it open, that gives them the ability to come in. Now, 2 Timothy 2:26 says that the devil will take them captive at his will. So when a person allows devils to come in, and then multiple devils, then he chooses the ones that he wants to throw away or the ones that he wants to keep using. And they'll probably go through a bunch of mental issues. You ever notice that with a lot of child actors and how they get up in that teenage and 20-year range? They are bonkers. And it's because of the abuse that they suffered as little actors from the adult actors. This is known, well known in Hollywood. And there's one latest dude that just died is Bob Saget. It was pretty well known that that guy jokingly, comedians jokingly about him raping a child and killing that child. And my Bible says fools make a mock of sin. Okay, and so this is why you see the behavior of some of these young athletes, or not actors and actresses. And even Shirley Temple back in the day, if you really analyze some of those shows that they were having her act out, some of them were not good. And she admitted to her mom and her, one time when they went to an interview, and they had some pretty raunchy stuff done to them. And she told her mom about it. Her mom said, same thing happened to me. It was pretty perverse. And this was what? When Shirley Temple back in the 1930s and so. So this is Hollywood. It's not a pretty picture. And so here, Mordecai is saying to Esther, you have an opportunity to be used of God. If you're not going to do it, God is going to deliver the Jews from another area. So get in on the blessing. So then it says, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to this the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, of course, her father was dead, but is still in the family. And so then he throws out that question. That's probably why you became queen. God is going to use you. God puts you in the right place, and you can do a tremendous service for your people. And she responded well with that. Her good upbringing, her trust of Mordecai. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Now that, not eating 3 days is, you know, maybe not a big deal. But drinking, not drinking for 3 days, that's a big deal. So don't drink for 3 days, night or day. That overrides Ramadan. You know, Ramadan, the Muslims gain weight during Ramadan because they can 30-day fast. No, it's actually a fast from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, and a gorge from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning for 30 days. And so that's why they gain weight. And man, they're shoveling in, come 6, get the, you know, and so forth. This is day and night. This is a real fast. And I also, my maids will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Wow. Yep. That's a sacrifice. And then, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And I guarantee that those Jews cried out to God in the same fashion Mordecai did. And as we keep reading, we'll see that God answers their prayer. So there are most of our prayers, I'm sure most of us when we pray quietly. Maybe you know, if you're afraid to pray at the restaurant, you drop your napkin. Lord, please bless this food. Amen. Thank you very much. You know, and something like that. But there are times we need to verbalize it, especially when we're dealing with spirits. It needs to be verbalized. Don't have to be loud, but it needs to be verbalized. Okay, we'll stop and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray and ask that you'd help us to see this this approach of your word, this spiritual warfare that you have given us, that at times of distress we can utilize this to show our urgency. And we pray, we thank you for the record of Esther and Mordecai. In Jesus' name, amen.